The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Daisy.
In the headlines, President in Abu Dhabi to participate in international dialogue and cooperation on the environment. GJA opens book of condolence today in memory of late Komla Dumo. Computerized school selection and placement system described as best mode of selection into SHS despite challenges. Revenge killing flare up in Bangui. Iran to attend peace talks on Syria and Switzerland. And football, Nigeria and Mali qualify for quarterfinals at Chan tournament in South Africa. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
President John Mahama, accompanied by some ministers of state, is in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, to participate in a high-level Sustainability Week program. The program is the largest gathering on sustainability in the Middle East and a significant platform for international dialogue and cooperation. The Ghana Journalist Association will today open a book of condolence at the International Press Center in memory of the Ghanaian BBC broadcaster Komla Dumo. The association is further proposing a state funeral and posthumous national honors for the late Komla. These were contained in a statement released by the GJA President Afil Moni. The National Coordinator of the Computerized School Selection and Placement System, CSSPS, George Atabwating, has described the system as the best mode of selection into SHS despite challenges. Speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, Mr. Boatin said the system is efficient, cost-effective, and less stressful, hence all must assist to perfect it. And Iran is to attend peace talks on Syria in Switzerland following the invitation by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. According to Mr. Ban, he believes Iran needs to be part of the solution to the Syria crisis, adding that he has been assured Iran would play a positive role in maintaining a transitional government.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. President John Mahama is in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, to participate in a high-level Sustainability Week program. The program is expected to focus on tackling pressing issues such as renewable energy, waste, and the environment. Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week is the largest gathering on sustainability in the Middle East and a significant platform for international dialogue and cooperation. The president is accompanied by the Finance Minister, Seth Tekle, and the Deputy Minister for Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, Thomas Kwesi-Kwarteng.
From Abu Dhabi, the president is expected to join a selected number of world and business leaders on Wednesday at the 2014 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. President Mahama is scheduled to chair a key session and participate in various discussions on climate change, post-2015 MDGs, healthcare, youth unemployment, and economic prospects. He will, on the sidelines, hold bilateral meetings with some world leaders and business executives. Pascalina Dadevo takes a look at the World Economic Forum and the president's participation.
Davos, Switzerland will once again play host to more than 2,000 selected world leaders, business and industry players, as well as journalists to the annual World Economic Forum. The platform is an independent international organization which seeks to engage fast brains on how the world can solve its major challenges by sharing ideas and experiences. The World Economic Forum was founded in 1971 by a German business professor, Klaus Schwab. It was first known as the European Management Forum. The name was changed in 1987 to widen its scope from a continental body to a global one, unlike the many regional forums which many have described as mere talk shop. The World Economic Forum walked the talk. Ahead of the forum, research is made on a regional basis to identify many challenges facing them. These challenges are thoroughly discussed and solutions are arrived at. Research done on sub-Saharan Africa showed widening income disparities, unemployment, cyber threats, and rising tension in the Middle East and North Africa. Another significant feature worth noting is that the forum is inviting 36 technology pioneers to provide cutting-edge solutions to the global challenges. These technology pioneers went through rigorous selection process by a committee made up of giants, innovative experts, academics and entrepreneurs. President Mahama is participating in the forum for the first time and has the rare privilege of chairing a high-level session. He has proved over the years to be a strong voice as far as pushing Africa's agenda is concerned. President Mahama's representation and input at the World Economic Forum is, however, not in doubt.
Pascalina Dadivel.
The National Coordinator of the Computerized School Selection and Placement System, CSSPS, George Atabwating, says despite challenges facing the system, it should be allowed to be the main mode of admission into SHS. He said the system is efficient, cost-effective and less stressful, hence all must assist to perfect it. Speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, Mr. Atabwating said delays are sometimes encountered because heads of SHS have to update the SCSPPS on available vacancies on the course of the placement.
Since its inception in 2005, you know, it's gone through challenges, and I might say that every year there's an improvement. The system has successfully been able to place students on merit, which is one fundamental achievement. Placing students on merit in the sense that this time around, the raw scores of students are used for placement. The actual marks that you obtain in the examination are what are used for the placement. We also have the system where, you see, a school like Bulita, for instance, has almost on the average 2,500 students applying to go there. And Holy Child can only take 400 students. So if you look at it mathematically, it's 14% or 15%. If without the system, how is Holy Child going to sift through this number, this huge population, to pick the 400 students? This system ensures that it's automatic and it's faster. Faster in the sense that also sometimes when WAEC releases the official results, it takes very long, 14 weeks for us to do the placement, unlike the previous years where parents and students alike will be ransacking the country just to, you know, get the awards or to get the schools that they want. So the system has worked. It has worked. There's still room for improvement, and I would want it to continue.
The president of Conference of Heads of Assisted Senior High Schools, who is also the headmaster of Accra Academy, Samuel Oforiejie, said the system has reduced the burden of heads of schools who previously had to travel to regional GES offices to pick cards of students who have selected their schools. He said some schools have as many as 6,000 qualified candidates when they can admit just a little over 1,000.
Before this system was introduced, it was regionalized in the sense that students selected schools in the region in which they were living, and therefore when the time came for selection, as a result of this, one of our conferences, and after we had done some background consultations between and amongst ourselves, I said, having this proposal of having a computerized system, because we are now in the digital age, and if we can use that to make selection faster and with minimal human intervention, I think that would be the ideal situation. So it was introduced. But all in all, we think that the system is better, and if we perfect it, it will be one of the best things that have happened to our educational system as far as getting students to enter into city high school.
A parent, Kweku Edufuleso, expressed worry about the frustration some parents go through due to delays in placing their awards. He, however, commended the GES for introducing the CSSPS and called on management of the system to put in the necessary measures to address the challenges.
I'll give the credit to President Kufuor's administration to introduce this. It's helped us a lot, we as a parent, but so we have some parents who are still struggling getting their awards into school. And if I'm talking about parents, I mean those in the rural areas. I'm not talking about Accra, but we have parents, let's say Swedru, in Saban, Diakwa, Nyakrum, Kwamai. We have those areas, rural areas, where you they struggle to even get credit to go and check check their world schools on the internet. I have a colleague in Accra who stays around Adenta. When the world, and then we have to go and check it on the net. We went to about 6 post office before we were able to have access to a car to check the school and everything on the net. Our last place was Medina post office. The lady who was at the post told us that I'm really lucky to have gotten a car, which was very bad. I thought, if you want the world to get a card at the place, maybe he has to come to the school.
That was apparent quickly before Israel ending views of panelists on GTV's current affairs program, Talking Point.
The GJA has proposed a state funeral and a posthumous national honors for the late Kwamla Dumo, who held aloft the flag of Ghanaian journalism and delved into Africa and the world. This is contained in a statement released by its president, Afil Money.
The statement said the media community in Ghana is struggling to come to terms with the reality that Kwamla Dumo of BBC and Joy FM fame is dead. Indeed, 18 January 2014 will go down in history as one of the saddest days in Ghanaian journalism, the day Ghanaians lost one of its purest gem at all times. For 10 years, Kwamla Dumo did justice to his professional mettle at Joy FM, where he gave his super morning show a superlative quality. He also showed his knack for investigative journalism and would stop at nothing to expose black spots in high political circles and hold people in position of power and responsibility to account. In all these, Kwamla Dumo displayed an impeccable sense of independence and incredible commitment to objectivity. His fearless disposition and command of the English language were also extraordinary. It was natural, therefore, when Kwamla Dumo won the GTA journalist in 2003. It was also not surprising when his professional excellence catapulted him onto the world stage, precisely the BBC World Service. In his capacity as the African anchor on the BBC World Service, Kwamla Dumo held aloft the flag of Ghanaian journalism and projected the country's image beyond measure. In appreciation for his unparalleled achievement nationally and huge impact internationally, the GJA proposed that Kwamla Dumo be accorded a state funeral and awarded posthumously a prestigious national honor deserving of a professional hero. The GJA extends his deepest condolences to his wife, Mrs. Kwansuma Dumo, his 3 children, his father, Professor Ernest Dumo, and the entire family. Meanwhile, the GJA and the family of Kwamla Dumo will open a book of condolence at the Ghana International Press Center from Monday, 20th January 2014 at 7:30 a.m.
GJA statement on Kwamla Dumo.
The chief executive of Stratcom Africa and spokesperson for the Dumo family, Esther Koba, says the family is still in shock and devastated by the death of Kwamla Dumo. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Madame Koba said the family is awaiting an autopsy report on the death and the public will be informed of arrangements for his funeral in due course. He spoke to George Sapo.
The family is obviously shocked. The family is sad. It is grieving at this time, just as the whole world is grieving. But what is comforting is that this family is strongly anchored in the Lord, and that is what is sustaining them at this very, very difficult time.
If you can kindly take us through what exactly happened before he got to the hospital.
I am not able to take you through all that. At this point, what we know is that, unfortunately and sadly, we have lost a loved one, and it is a difficult time. We appreciate the outpouring of love, support, and prayers that are coming from all over the world. We are very grateful, and it is a very difficult time for the family.
And do you have any immediate plans in place?
As you're well aware, during such situations, appropriate consultations have to take place, and information related to whatever plans there are, there should be, will be put out soon after these consultations have taken place.
We understand that a book of condolence has been opened at the family house.
There is a book of condolence at the family house. There is one also being opened at Joy FM. The general public and friends, sympathizers, loved ones have the opportunity to visit these places and express their sympathy at this time.
Has it been communicated to you the cause of his death?
Kwamla was rushed to the hospital from his home in London yesterday morning, and we do not at this point know the cause of death.
A chief executive of Stratcom Africa and spokesperson of the Dumo family, Esther Koba, in that interview with George Sapo. Here are what his colleagues at the BBC had to say.
BBC Global News Director Peter Horrocks called Dumo a leading light of African journalism who would be deeply missed. He said Komla was committed to telling the story of Africa as it really is. Mr. Horrocks said in a statement, "Africa's energy and enthusiasm seemed to shine through every story Komla told." Mr. Horrocks said, "Komla's many friends and colleagues across Africa and the world will be as devastated as we are by this shocking news. The sympathies of all his colleagues at BBC are with his family and friends." BBC's Director of News and Current Affairs, James Harden, spoke of Komla Dumo's singular role in transforming the coverage of Africa. He brought a depth of understanding, a great deal of courage, a joyous charm, and boundless charisma to his work. Meeting Komla Dumo for the first time in Ghana in 2007, BBC's chief international correspondent, Liz Doucette, said she had noticed how young Ghanaian journalists look up to him. She said he never flinched from asking tough questions, but also loved to share a laugh. She added that Komla Dumo had many laughs, including football, his faith, and family. He always said, "I just love talking with people." Komla Dumo featured in New African Magazine's November 2013 list of 100 most influential Africans. It said, and I quote, "He had established himself as one of the emerging African faces of global broadcasting who had considerable influence on how the continent is covered."
Those were the comments of some of Komla Dumo's colleagues at the BBC.
We now bring you what some Ghanaians and other nationals abroad have been saying about the late Komla Dumo on BBC's webpage. Samuel Nyambu, Nairobi, Kenya, says, "As an ardent listener of the BBC, Dumo's voice had become a signature for all news in Africa, and my encounter with him on TV matched the energy and enthusiasm that came across while on radio. I will definitely miss him, and I mourn with his family, the BBC fans and the BBC family. May his soul rest in peace."
Jimbo Pattaya, Thailand, "I love this enthusiastic and dedicated man. My heart goes out to his family and friends in this tragic time. Hard to believe I will not see his smiling face and down-to-earth assessments of his..."
See, "I first met Komla while we were both students at the University of Ghana around 2000 and 2001. He was working at Joy FM while still studying at the time. He was affable and had a good sense of humor. I've also been in the studio with him once, as the second highest winner of a radio contest where he quizzed us for the grand prize a couple of years later. We have spoken on the phone a couple of times and chatted on Facebook once or twice, and when he was about to start BBC Focus on Africa TV, he asked me to kindly publicize the program banner with his photo on my profile, and I did. The last time we met, we were both in Addis Ababa in October 2012 at the second Africa Trade Forum organized by the UNECA. He was there to moderate some of the sessions, and I was covering for Ghana Business News. He made a mark on radio journalism in Ghana and was a great source of inspiration for many Ghanaian youth, especially those who wanted to get into radio. May his soul rest in peace." Janine Frimpong said at about...
"An international magazine, Chief Daily Momodu, says Komla Dumo will be remembered for his professionalism, dedication, and commitment to his job. He said Komla did his best to always research before interacting with personalities he interviewed, adding that Komla made Africa proud and the continent will remember him. He spoke to Rosemary Gezi.
Komla was always fun to be with. He had a lot of rhapsodies, as I always say. He spoke very clearly, very succinctly. That this was a man who had done a thorough research before meeting you. He didn't ask any useless questions. His questions were brisk and straight to the point, and I was in love with him."
So how did the news get to you personally?
"These days, there is no way you can hide the death of an elephant. Komla, Komla was an elephant. He was a juggernaut. And he was an Iroko tree. There was no way his death would have gone unannounced. So I went quickly on social media, and I realized that everywhere had been awash with stories about the departure of this great African, and it made me extremely sad."
What would you remember him for?
"He was a man who was totally dedicated and committed to his art, to his work, to his profession, to his career, and he made Africa proud." Africa would always remember the great Comrade Moore.
The publisher of Ovation magazine, Chief Dele Momodu. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama in Abu Dhabi to participate in international dialogue and cooperation on the environment. GJA opens book of condolence today in memory of late Comrade Dumont. Computerized school selection and placement system described as best mode of selection into SHS despite challenges. Revenge killings flare up in Bangui. Iran to attend peace talks in Syria and Switzerland. And in football, Nigeria and Mali qualify for quarterfinals at Chan tournament in South Africa.
The news continues. The NPP has asked all its regional election committees to ensure that latest by the close of today, they submit all relevant documents for the upcoming regional executive elections scheduled for the 25th of this month. A statement signed by the party's director of elections, Martin J. Mensah-Khosa, said all regional election committees are to furnish the committee with details on the venue for the election, names of representatives from all recognized TESCON institutions to vote in the region, names of 10 patrons to vote in the region, as well as that of 10 Council of Elders members eligible to vote.
The one-year memorial of the first headmaster of Bishop Herman College, Kwando, the late Monsignor Cornelius Wilhelmus Kojo Prince, has been celebrated in Accra. The event brought together past students of the school, traditional leaders, and the Netherlands ambassador to Ghana. Speaking at the ceremony, the president of Bishop Herman Old Boys Union, Edem Podo, advised Ghanaians to cherish the country's rich culture, norms, and values. He said the late Monsignor Prince saw something good in Ghana and therefore built a school there. Anita Weskin has this report.
The late Cornelius Kojo Prince was born in the Netherlands in 1920. He studied for his higher education in London and Ireland between 1946 and 1951. He later arrived in Ghana in 1952 and was given the arduous task of building a secondary school from scratch in the largely rural section of Bando. Today, Bishop Herman College, like the biblical mustard seed, has grown from humble beginnings to one of the best Catholic second cycle institutions in Ghana, with roots reaching out to all national institutions. The president of Bishop Herman Old Boys Union, Edem Poku, said there's a need for Ghanaians to be relentless in pursuing whatever they set out to do and do it in excellence to the glory of God.
Imagine a young man who gets up from Europe, takes a ship, and comes after 2 weeks or so journey, land on the shores of a totally different country, and starts to build a school with all the challenges, not knowing anybody, just being sent by the Catholic Church to go and do this. For me, that alone is a major issue that I can tell Ghanaians to try to learn from. We will not be able to imagine what is my word. Apart from that, I will want to give just this small example for the kind of things Father Prince did. Because a lot of people do not want to leave their comfort zone in this country. There are people who just think that they should have the best of everything from the time they are born until the time they die. And so these people will not be able to imagine what this man went through.
Dr. Bedu Nyako.
Anita Weskin reporting.
Children are assets to parents, society, and the nation as a whole. Therefore, all efforts should be channeled into their physical, educational, and moral development for the growth of the country. The head of Sunday School of the United Church Ministry, Mrs. Dizomelu, made a comment at the school's second get-together and fanfare in Accra. Mrs. Dizomelu noted that it is the responsibility of parents to protect their children from criminals who have developed the attitude of kidnapping children, even from churches. Fred Yevu and Joan Apatley have the rest of the story.
The United Church Sunday School and Junior Youth were established 41 years ago to teach children to be biblically sound with the Word of God. The senior elder of the United Church, Mrs. Stella Amwa, said children are a heritage of God. They must therefore be given a holistic upbringing in the Lord. She stressed the fact that children are the future leaders and should be guarded against social vices.
As elders and as a church, we are entreated to take care of our young ones, because as we nurture them in the Christian spirit and in faith and upbringing, we know that we will not lose them to the cares of this world. We know that we all are fighting for our salvation, and it is our responsibility as a church and a responsibility for us as church members and in the adult service to nurture our children. Children, the message is that you are wonderful children. You are special. Also praying that all the good things that you are learning as you are a member of the Sunday school and of the junior youth, you will inculcate them and let them be part of you. Let people see you as a different person in 2014 and beyond.
The head of the Sunday school of the church, Mrs. Mitzi Zomelu, urged parents to sensitize their children against strangers and not to accept gifts from unknown people.
Fred Yebu and John Apakli filed that report.
The need for Christians and people of other religious faiths to impact positively on governance of the nation has been reinforced. The presiding elder of the Church of Pentecost, Nima District Christian Sena, said this in an interview with Radio Ghana. According to him, the impact of Christians in authority will be manifested if they bring the teachings of the Bible to bear on their work. In this way, social vices such as corruption, nepotism and ethnicity would be eliminated from our body politic. Elder Sena said that the year 2014 holds a lot of hope and progress for the nation, but these can only manifest if Christians in positions of authority entrust their work with the teachings of Christ in mind. These sentiments were shared by Pastor Osum of the Bible Way Church in Cantonment. He added that Ghanaians need to develop trust in institutions of state to deliver governance, justice and development to the nation. Pastor Osum said Christians in positions of authority and trust need to do all they can to make the teachings of Christ influence national life.
In foreign news, a mob in the Central African Republican capital Bangui went on a revenge spree and killed and burned two Muslims on the street in the latest sectarian clash. The gangs told reporters they will continue to kill Muslims in their area as a way of avenging the murder of a Christian. Aid agencies say at least 23 people were killed in an attack on a convoy evacuating people to neighboring Cameroon. A statement issued by the Red Cross from its headquarters in Geneva says fresh intercommunal violence has flared up in north and northwestern areas of the country.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says it is too early to speak on whether he would run for his fourth term in 2018, but warned that clinging to power by all means would be unwise. President Putin said what is needed now is to work. The Russian president, who was speaking to the media in Moscow, noted that the worst and most dangerous thing that can happen to a politician is holding to power by any means and focusing only on that.
UN Security Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has invited Iran to take part in preliminary Syrian peace talks this week in Switzerland, an offer Tehran has accepted. Mr. Ban said he believes Iran needs to be part of the solution to the Syria crisis, adding that he has been assured Iran would play a positive role in securing a transitional government, but Syria's main opposition says it would withdraw from the talks unless Mr. Ban retracted the offer to Iran.
Football. Nigeria and Mali yesterday booked places at the quarterfinals at the ongoing African Nations Championship CHAN in South Africa. Mali came from a goal down to beat Mozambique 2-1 in their last Group A fixture. Nigeria also put up a spirited performance to pip host South Africa by 3-1. The final matches in Group B will take center stage today. Group leaders Uganda will play Morocco at the Cape Town Stadium, as Zimbabwe take on Burkina Faso at the Free State Stadium. The two teams with the highest points after today's matches will play their Group A counterparts, Nigeria and Mali, in the quarterfinals. Now to end the news, another look at our headlines. President Mahama is in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, to participate in a high-level sustainability week program. The Ghana Journalists Association will today open a book of condolence at the International Press Center in memory of Ghanaian BBC broadcaster Komla Dumo. The National Coordinator of the Computerized School Selection and Placement System, CSSPS, George Atabuatin, has described the system as the best mode of selection into SHS despite challenges. And reports of revenge killings and burning in Bangui have claimed many lives in renewed sectarian violence in the lawless country. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy in a